Thank you, Jose. And we're going to go ahead and close this morning's service. Appreciate it. It is a little bit different with no audience.
I'm hanging out too much with the Jays.
Right? But, you know, we are in a different time that we're living in right now. And I do appreciate my brother's words this morning. And if you can remember him and his family as well, he's been furloughed, for those that didn't understand. So he's going to be off of work for a little while. And definitely stands in need of prayers. And I'm appreciative of the ability for us to be able to still reach out to all of you out there and to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you. There's a lot of people struggling right now. I understand that. And including, you know, those that have uncertainty in their life. And I'll speak towards a few of those things. But before I get started, I just wanted to take the opportunity completely off topic of what I'm going to be preaching about and just really take the opportunity to embarrass my wife in front of everybody, which isn't here. But today is our 17-year anniversary, and I'm really thankful for every single year that the Lord has placed my wife in my life, and I couldn't ask for anything more. And, you know, it's funny how we been married this long, have been through a lot of challenges, a lot of struggles in our life, and the support I get from her is just extraordinary. And you know, when we were on our honeymoon, I'll never forget that, because it was one of those times where people just don't forget. It was the beginning of the Gulf War, and we were, you know, fearful and didn't know what was going to become of our nation and with everything going on in that war. But here we are today. You know, the Lord watches over us. The Lord has blessed us for many years, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm sure that, you know, as a married couple, and for all the married couples out there, for you young ones, we're going to see things happen and unfold in front of our eyes. And what is it? What is our responsibility when these things happen? You know, it's to do what God called us to do. And so here we are with that. You know, we're in the midst of this big pandemic, and, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? And hopefully the answer is doing what God called us to do. You know, taking that opportunity to be able to serve Him to the best of our ability, to serve others to the best of our ability. And with that, I wanted to say also, well, Alicia, I love you very much. Happy anniversary. But I wanted to thank all the nurses, the doctors, their emergency responders, all the people that are donating their time, putting their efforts forth to be able to help those that are in need. It's greatly appreciated, especially if you're in the medical field. I know we have, I'm looking out like for these people, it's the weirdest thing, but I know we have nurses in our congregation that, you know, are dealing with these environments that can be detrimental to our personal health. And I hope that, you know, God watches over you, and I pray for God to watch over you. But thank you very much. I wanted to express that here this morning, and to be able to let you know that you are in our thoughts and prayers. So thank you for your services. And I thank Dan and Michelle are here to be able to get the live stream up and going, and also the Zoom. So hopefully everybody at home who has tuned in has the capability to be able to see us and hear us properly. I know we had some struggles Wednesday night, but I think that everything's good to go here because my phone's not blowing up. So that's a good thing. So Wednesday night, you know, we were trying to get this program on the live stream, and boy, we had some trouble. And he even got me to be able to sing. I thought that would be kind of entertaining.
It was the storm, I'm telling you, it was the storm.
And Michelle is saying it was the storm that was passing through, and I don't doubt it because, yeah, it got windy there for a little bit. Boy, it really picked up. Yeah, and it was pouring really good there too. So, you know, one of the things that I'm sure all of you have, I'll go ahead and I'll get started now, I'll stop rambling on, but You guys need to settle down out there too, okay? I'm trying to talk here. But, oh boy. In all seriousness, we know what's going on. Everybody's done their homework. You know, the news has been putting things out, but one of the first deaths that we have had here in Arizona and Phoenix actually was at my place of business. I work at Sky Harbor Airport. I was put out there just the other night. And, you know, that's something that hits close to home, close to work, however you want to look at it. I'd ask that you pray for this gentleman's family. His name is Trevor Boy. He was a middle-aged man in his 50s and succumbed to this virus. And, you know, it's very sad. But, you know, all the precautions that we're doing at the airport are in place, and we're trying our best there as well to be able to keep up with the necessary logistics, materials that we need to keep people traveling in a safe and clean manner. And so, you know, what are we doing? You know, all these things, how are we doing? There's a lot of things going on right now. We're getting bombarded from every angle that we see this virus has an angle on in our lives. And, you know, it's definitely has affected all of our work habits, our work environment, our social activities, you know, the way we go about handling ourselves and our families. It has a lot to do with our culture, and our societies are changing as we speak. The future is going to be changing, I'm sure, of how we go about doing business and how we interact and how we travel. All those things are going to be put on the table, and, you know, we're going to be taking another look at the way that these societies handle these type of pandemics or whatever the case may be. But, you know, we seen the grocery stores all cleaned out. It's frustrating. It's difficult. It's sometimes scary. I understand that. And, you know, even trying to get dog food. I don't know why dog food is being hoarded as well, but, you know, are people thinking that they might have to live off of that because they can't get the other necessities? I don't know. But it's really interesting of people's character and the habits and what they're doing and how they're doing it because of this fear, this uncertainty, and this doubt that we have with this virus going on. In the media, you know, I know there's all different types of views as far as what the media is doing, how they're portraying it, and what the angles that they're taking on it as well. But I got to have an interesting conversation with a gentleman at work. And, you know, I already had spoken, it's fear, uncertainty, and doubt are some of the things that we discussed at work. And, you know, it's interesting to think that fear can actually be more contagious than this virus. You know, this virus has affected a couple hundred thousand people. You know, it's killed quite a few people at the same time. But you look at the fear and how that's infected so many people, you know, and what they've done because of it. And, you know, is that something that, you know, we need to look at in our lives? You know, are we afraid to the point to where we stockpile a whole bedroom full of toilet paper? No, I don't think so. I think that with the things that are put in place and how we go about our daily lives, there's certain precautions that we need to take. But at the same time, you know, we need to look to God. Like my brother was just saying, we need to look to God. And we need to understand that God's going to take care of his children. And there's brothers and sisters in this local, in this congregation, that are willing to help and willing to support. My neighbor across the street yesterday, you know, we were out in front and playing a little bit of basketball, came over and talked to me and as a neighbor, you know, not much of a relationship like I have with my brothers and sisters here. Hey, is there anything that you guys need? Is there anything that we can do for you? And it was just a comforting thought and comforting to hear that, you know, even the people I don't engage with on a daily basis are there to be able to provide support. And I know there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people out there that are putting those opportunities out there to be able to offer their services. But that fear, uncertainty, and doubt, we were kind of talking about it, and I said, you know what? Modesto, I'm actually my coworker at work. I'm going to bring that up at my service here on Sunday. And he referred to it as FUD. I like that word, FUD. It's kind of fun just to say FUD. Is it? Yeah. I think it's something that stuck to me. Sounds like FUD can stick to you, kind of like crud. But, you know, it's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But I wanted to start off and read in Romans chapter 8, just two verses there. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I think that's the key thing, the most important thing we need to remember going through these crises, that Christ is what we look to. As my brother said, that's who we focus on. That's who's going to lead us. That's who's going to take care of us. That's who's going to give us discernment and the knowledge and the wisdom of what we should do and how we should do it. And I know that our adversary Satan is putting out there that uncertainty, that doubt, and that fear in our minds, but we can overcome that, you know, and there's many ways that we can overcome that. Within my own mind, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, pretty high-strung person. You know, one of the things I've been doing lately in my life for the last couple years has actually started on our 15-year anniversary. This is our 17-year anniversary. I started going to the gym, and I really enjoy that because, you know, with life, with work, with stress, one of the things that I really like to do is go to the gym to exercise because it helps me. It helps me be able to focus. It helps me be able to sleep better. And we know when you sleep better, you can really address the difficulties in life and stress and those things that exhaust you, that wear you out. It helps me with that. But, you know, it's the gym's closed now. It's one of those times like, okay, now what am I going to do? You know, it's difficult. You know, is there something that I can do in the meantime to be able to help me through these situations? Yeah, number one is, you know, pray to God. What can I do? And the Lord is definitely going to open up many opportunities for us to be able to handle these things and to be able to deal with these things. And we just, if we need to reach out to others, you know, that's what we do, reach out to others. There's live stream, there's FaceTime. I know that my wife is playing like a Marco Polo on the Facebook or something, or live streaming it, or through the phone. I don't know how she's doing it, but I think that's pretty interesting, you know, and it's something to help us be able to cope with the stress that we're going through. And, you know, the decision I made the other night, I don't know if it was really a good decision, but I decided to go run 5 miles. Usually I run a mile at the most at the gym. I'm not trying to kill myself. I'm just trying to stay in shape and keep the blood pumping. And I said, you know, well, I don't have all the things that I normally do at the gym, so I'm just going to go ahead and go and run 5 miles. And, you know, I go and I hit the street, and about 3 miles in, my body and my mind are telling me that, hey, maybe this wasn't such a good idea, you ding-dong. But what did I do? You know, I remembered, no joke, I remembered at that time that there was a sermon that I preached. It was the 40% rule. You know, my mind and my body are telling me that I'm done. And really, I know that I'm just at 40%. I have 60% more in me. And sure enough, it was more than 40% of my run that I have completed, so I had less than 60% to go. That's kind of how my mind works. And so I said, okay, well, I'm just going to keep pushing it. I'm going to keep pushing it and make sure that I complete this because I challenged myself. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is challenge yourself to find those things that help you cope, help others, and to be able to overcome this difficult time that we're going through. And so, yes, today my legs are still very sore. And I felt it a lot. And that was Friday night I did that. And man, I was looking forward to a hot shower Friday night and just to be able to sit there and let the water beat down on me. So my wife tells me, Alicia tells me that, hey, there's no hot water. And I said, okay, well, what's going on? And, you know, I ran the water, felt the water coming out of the shower head. I said, oh, there sure isn't. let me go see what's going on there. So I went out to the circuit breaker. I saw that it was orange, you know, it had been flipped, and I flipped it back, and you know, I waited there for about 30 seconds, and it was dark out. It's 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden you start seeing that, I started hearing that crackling behind the circuit breaker, and then it started lighting up with arcing, and then tripped the circuit breaker, and I was like, oh, great. And so when it did that, I thought that, well, the circuit breaker's just bad, so guess what? I'm just going to have to let everybody know that there's no hot water for the rest of the night, and I get to take a cold shower. And I kid you not, it was a cold shower, and I was literally shivering when I got out of the shower. But I figured, you know, there's other means for the hot water to be provided. So Alicia still had to take a shower. Logan was getting off of work, and so she went and picked him up, and Michelle had opened her door for, you know, the family to be able to come over there and take a hot shower. There it was provided. The Lord provided, and I'm thankful for that. So, you know, I figure, well, I'll go ahead and I'll get up in the morning and I'll pop that circuit breaker out. I'll take it up to Home Depot and I'll slap a new one in. We'll be good to go. And I can do all that before everybody wakes up, and then I'll go ahead and cook my breakfast for everybody. It's called Dad's Big Breakfast, and maybe one day there might be a restaurant coming near you. We do love our breakfast on Saturdays. And so I went out there 8:30 in the morning and decided, you know, I've never done this before. I got my voltmeter. I want to make sure I'm not going to die when I do this, because everybody wakes up at about 10 o'clock and I'm out there early, and I'll probably be out there for a little while laying on the ground half dead or whatever the case may be. I was uncertain of what the outcome was going to be, but I was taking the extra precautionary steps to be able to remove that circuit breaker, and because I've never done it before, it was a little bit scary, but you know, in the end, it turned out okay, but it didn't. So I went, I replaced the circuit breaker, got all that back in, and flipped it on, and hey, everything's good. Everything's ready to go here, and went back in the house. Hey, hot water's on, everybody, once, you know, it got done. And went and turned on the hot water, and sure enough, the hot water wasn't working. And so I said, huh, well, that's interesting, because I felt the top of the hot water tank. It was warming up. You can hear it if you listen real close, working it and making sure the element's on. And it shut off again. So, you know, I was starting to stress out, because during this crisis, that's the last thing I wanted to do was spend $600 on a new water heater. You know, these are some serious times that we're going through right now, and I don't want to spend that kind of money. So I'm really starting to stress out. And, you know, what did I do? I do what I always do when I don't know what I'm doing. I reach out to my brother Isaac and ask him. And, you know, I got on the phone with Isaac and I said, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, he said, well, it sounds to me like you have a shorted out water heater element. And so I said, well, I've never even explored that situation. And so basically we isolated the water heater and took the wiring off of it and reset the circuit breaker. He was kind of walking me through it. And sure enough, the circuit breaker didn't trip. And I said, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and figure this one out. And it was really interesting, because just a forewarning, when you hook up the hose and you drain it, give it a lot more time than you think it takes, because when I took the water heater element, I started to unscrew it and pull it out, it decided to let out a lot more water than I thought that was in the water heater. So one of the things that you can do out there is just rock your water heater, because once it's empty, it's actually kind of light. But water started going everywhere. It was all over the place. Alicia was there with me at that time, and I had to have her grab a rag, shove it in the hole, grab a bucket, and run buckets of water out into the front grass, and there was just water all over the place. You know, and there's an electric panel up there with the timer that is also potentially scary, but we had it shut off at the circuit breaker. But, you know, These are just things that are compiling. And I know myself and in the past that when these things go from bad to worse and even worse, it really wears on me and I could get frustrated and lose my temper. But, you know, in these situations, I really wanted to make sure that the adversary wasn't going to win. Because in the past, what always happens is I say something that I regret that I said, and, you know, as soon as I say it, I know it, and the Lord lets me know it. And in this time, it wasn't going to happen, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we got it all torn apart, got it all back together, and got it started back up, and everything was A-okay. And so, you know, I really appreciated the resource I had, my brother Isaac out there, kudos to him. And I appreciate the fact that even in these difficult times, I looked at the bright side. I never replaced a circuit breaker before. I learned how to do that. I feel very confident in doing so if it happens again in the future, or to pass that on to somebody else that I could share that with. I never replaced water heater elements before. Okay, I think I'm pretty good at it now. There's really not much to it. And if it ever happens to anybody in the future, I can help with that as well. You know, I felt that I could run 5 miles. You know, it was difficult, but I did. And I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed myself and my family with many good years of health. You know, nothing really we've had a difficult time with, but I know there's a lot of people out there, but you can find the good through your struggles. I slept great that last night. Boy, I slept really good. And, you know, I had an opportunity, again, to be able to not only come here and share these things with you, but also I had the opportunity to be able to listen to my sister Rebecca in the Sunday school that she did prior to this, and all the testimonies that everyone sent in to encourage others and to help us be able to through this time that we're going through. It's a struggle, but you know, just listening to those testimonies on the Facebook and being able to press the thumbs up and the heart, I was really uplifted this morning. So I'm very thankful for that. You know, sister taking the opportunity to be able to help and encourage others through the struggles that we're going through. And so, you know, fear is something that is gonna be present in our lives, but you know, the Lord, if we rely on Him, if we focus on Him, He's gonna carry us through. He's gonna help us overcome. He's going to open our eyes to see what we need to do and how we need to do it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," and I think this is very important in this time, "and of love, and of a sound mind," you know, to make those right choices of what we need to do and how we need to do it. But that love of Christ, that charity is what truly, truly is important at this time. We need to be sharing that. And it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And, you know, Christ was with us even before the world began. You know, I was studying last night and came to the understanding that pestilence has been here since the beginning. Nations have dealt with that. We're dealing with that. You know, that's something that just is a part of the cycle of life that we go through. We're going to see that from time to time. We know that many of us have lived through the swine flu, 60 million infected. There was the Black Plague, you know. There's all kinds of things that transpired that before we were even around that didn't have names. They called it pestilence. And we need to understand that, you know, God, through His grace, will help us through those things. And we, with our grace, can help others through these things, with the love that God has given us. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23 and 25, or 23 and 24, excuse me. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, that's who we serve. You know, we don't serve ourselves. We don't go hoarding and piling up toilet paper in our bedrooms. We have the necessities of life. We share what we can. We put those services out there that we can. We can do only so much. We can only do so much, but yet we can do so much. You know, we can pray for our brothers and sisters, for safety, for good health, for protection, for the ability to get home, for healing, for recovery in this country. You know, it's going to be difficult. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I know that we will recover. I know there's going to be a time when we're all going to look back and we're going to share testimonies of these things that transpired. And that was my testimony that I shared this morning as Rebecca read it. You know, it's one of those opportunities that we have that we'll never forget. And hopefully all of us have memories from this time that we'll never forget of how we contributed those things that are important to other people because of the love of Christ. That's the important thing. So I want everyone to exercise in your prayers those things which are so important and detrimental to our soul's welfare. You know, those things that we can do, how we can do it, and let God lead us in doing so. And in Moroni chapter 7, verse 53, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ." Be true to yourself. Be true to God. Think about what you can do right now. Think about how you can share the abilities, the talents that God has given you. It says that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. You know, and that we shall see him as he is, you know, and we can see how he is. We can take the scriptures, we can read them, we can understand them, we can let them comfort us, we can let the scriptures remove the fear within us, the anxiety, the stress. You know, there's so many things in the gospel that God has given us to help us be able to understand what it is we need to be able to cope in this situation. You know, we need to lead by example. We need to persevere in this time and, you know, have that servitude mentality and to glorify God in doing so. You know, it's so much more valuable than anything you can stockpile in a house, a room, a freezer, a refrigerator. It's so much more valuable than any of those things. Show that goodness that you have. Let that be the light. As it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day." You know, are we lighting up the path? Are we showing people the way? Are we doing those things that are necessary for our elderly? You know, it's been some difficult decisions, and there's been a lot of thoughts going through my mind. Been up late at night thinking about these things and lying in bed as my wife is laying next to me snoring. What? No, I didn't say that. Just kidding. Not really, but just kidding. Oh, man, it's so good. I could get myself in big trouble in here. She's not here. So I might need to call my brother Jose here and ask him for a room for the night. No, but, you know, are we doing those things? Please be so doing those things. Please be doing those things. You know, be that shining light. Light the path. I love that term there, to light the path and to, you know, bring people to a better day. You know, we're probably going to see many days ahead of us that are still going to be full of questions, full of not understanding of what's going to transpire, how it's going to transpire. But God will take care of us during that time. And so, you know, the ministry, we have a responsibility here. You know, it's important that we're doing the right things and making the right decisions. And, you know, not only just watching out and taking care of the spiritual welfare of our church members here, of our brothers and sisters, but also, you know, their physical welfare. I always exercise safety first in everything that I do, and make sure that everything's in place accordingly when it comes to things like that. You know, God forbid something can happen to somebody because of the lack of precaution that we're taking. So we need to do those things as ministry, and we still have the ability to be able to bring the gospel, to spread the word. And I know there's going to be a day when we're all sitting back in this chapel here, and all the locals and all the world are going to be gathering back together. I know that's coming. We all know that's coming. Is it tomorrow? I doubt it. But I know that in the meantime, there's going to be plenty of brothers and sisters doing things, extraordinary things, that will help us all through this time and help us all be able to accomplish what the Lord set us out to do, to be able to share that love. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." I think that's important right now, to continue to feed the flock and to watch over our brothers and sisters in the gospel. And it says, "Not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy..." I'm getting laughs because I was going to say lucre, but it's not. It's lucre. "But of a ready mind." And so I had a ready mind because my mother-in-law is out here. She was just waiting for it. So that's why we just had a little small stare down right there. But have a ready mind. You know, let your mind be prepared. Things happen. We see that in history. We've, as a nation, and I'm sure a lot of our members here in the church, I know for a fact a lot of members of our church here have gone through very difficult times. World War I, we've seen videos on it. The Depression, World War II, the Gulf War, Korean War, Vietnam War, you know, all these things have happened. And, you know, some of us aren't here to talk about them, but, you know, this is something that's happening right now. And if we have the opportunity, you know, in the future, we can talk about those things and what we did, how we did it, and to be able to help those that have that fear, uncertainty, and doubt, that FUD in their lives for things to come, which we all know things are going to come. So in Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read three verses there. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment." You know, that thing, that knowledge is very important. Get wisdom. It is crucial. Get it from God. Have him counsel you on those things, how you should do it and what you should do. And then share that. Share that with others. It says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." You know, sometimes it's hard to refrain from those things in which we say that could be offensive to others. You know, if we have Christ in mind, if we have that loving heart, if we're soft, if we're humble, if we have that tenderness within us, you know, we can overcome those things that can be abrasive, that can be difficult to deal with, can be a struggle for others in how they receive that. But, you know, through Christ, we have the ability to be able to do those things. And it says, "Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ." And those fruits of righteousness, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. I want everybody to know that. And, you know, think upon those things that you can do and how you can share it. I keep saying that over and over, but it's so important at this time that, you know, I have a cup of water here. You know, how are you looking at the cup? It's half full. And I look at the other half as an opportunity to fill it with something for God. And that's how we need to look at our lives and our spiritual walk. And it says here, unto the glory and praise of God. And so maybe we do that, you know. I'm not looking for any award or any key to the city for anything that I'm doing right now. All I'm looking to do is take care of God's children and to praise Him in doing so and to give Him the glory for that, because He's the one that deserves it. He's the one that gives us the opportunity to do it and to be able to spend eternity with Him because of those things that we do. You know, and in this land that we live in, this world, with this trouble it's going through, it's going to heal. You know, members in this church that are suffering from the afflictions that are caused by this, they're going to heal. You know, we might lose a brother or sister that's close to us, but we're going to heal. We pray for those brothers and sisters that have underlying physical issues that the Lord will watch over them. But we don't know when the Lord's going to call us home and how He's going to call us home. So think about that time. Think about the time that you have. You know, keep working hard. Keep doing what the Lord calls you to do. You know, there's really neat, interesting stories. We're all listening to the news every day. You know, I used to work with Ford. That was part of my testimony this morning that I gave to Rebecca to share. And Ford had reached out to the president, the Ford Motor Company, and said, hey, if you guys need ventilators to be made for this pandemic, we'll go ahead and we'll start making ventilators for these hospitals so people can be able to breathe. You know, they're focusing on setting aside building cars and building something that's going to provide the services that the people need that are getting sick. You know, setting aside what their main focus is and focusing on what's going on right now. Walmart and Amazon, they're hiring thousands of new workers. You know, I had a discussion with Alicia the other day. Hey, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to make some extra money, go get a part-time job at Fry's stocking the shelves because they're so bare, you know, or at Walmart. Just hold on a second. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be losing their jobs, that these will be great opportunities for them to be able to bring some income in for themselves and for their families. I didn't think about that. That's great advice for my wife. You know, Costco and what they're doing, I think it's great because I was just telling Brother Dan this morning how Alicia and I went to Costco last night because our dog food was just about out and we needed dog food. My brother was there and he called me up and said, hey, they got dog food up here, the Pedigree that, you know, your dog eats. Thank you, we're running right up there. Costco had signage up when he walked through the door. Guess what, people? We're not gonna buy back any of the water or any of the toilet paper from the people that bought mass quantities of it, so you're stuck with it. And I was kind of laughing and I was telling Dan that, boy, that'd be really interesting to be a type of person that had a lifetime supply of toilet paper in a room, and you never bought it ever again. Just interesting. You know, these restaurants, the stores, the hotels, they're all gonna reopen. You know, this land's gonna heal. The stock market's gonna go back up again, and people are gonna be able to travel again. And we got our brother and sister in Tennessee. I'm not sure if they're back yet today, but you know, that's something interesting because, you know, if you're out of the country, you might still be out of the country, but you know, this is all gonna pick back up. As all things, this will pass. And it's this time here that we need to show compassion for all these people that are normally here. And not just these people that are normally here, but those that we know on our own city or our own neighborhood street that might need help as well. So please keep those people in mind because we could get quickly caught up in just taking care of our immediate family and ourselves, but You know, think about those people on your street that normally you see walk into the mailbox. They might be the elderly, and you only see them at 6 o'clock at night, you know, going to pick up their mail and saying hi as they walk by. Take a moment and say, hey, how you doing? Is everything okay with you? Because, you know, some of the things that we see on a daily basis that are so routine can be completely flipped upside down in their personal lives too. And they might just need, you know, some edification in their life, some emotional support. So think about those things, you know. Complacency, I know, is a big thing. It's in all of us, and we all go through it. And, you know, when everything gets turned upside down, it can be difficult to deal with. But pray to God that He will open your eyes and help you be able to see the opportunity to be able to share that love of Christ. And so that's my message for you brothers and sisters today. And I thought that it would be a lot shorter with nobody here, but it's just about right. And I think that, you know, going on and moving forward, we'll do whatever we can to make sure that we're sharing that light of Christ. And so thank you, brothers and sisters. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to our brother Jose so he can get us wrapped up. And please share the live stream with others and the opportunities that people have to be able to come and to be able to listen. So God bless each and every one of you. You are my thoughts and my prayers. And may God watch over you, and God bless.